A4.
Number 14B.
All right. What happens when the Christ translates itself in the absolute sense and translates itself, as we have said, to the point of specific individual idea? Then it really does what to our ignorance and to our state of things? It begins really to manifest itself. So we have a sense of manifestation, and you could say in spite of the flesh or in spite of matter. Let's put it that way. And you see, every idea that comes has the Christ power within itself and says, I am that which destroys incarnate error, which destroys a false belief. That's why Mrs. Eddy explains the Christ as the divine manifestation of God that comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. That's what you have here. That comes because of that terrific idea of translation. So it manifests itself in the flesh in spite of matter. That's always the great point. And when it comes to Christianity, we get really the obliteration of the mortal concept, or you could call it demonstration. So this is all one statement. Huh? Can you see it begins that it comes as the Christ, as the saving Christ to every situation in spite of opposition to that Christ? It has the power to manifest itself, and what it achieves is the outcome. Christianity is always the outcome of the Christ idea. As the outcome, it obliterates or destroys the false concept, what we call usually in the Christian Science jargon, call a demonstration. And what do we see when we look at it from the point of view of science? Then I think we see that there was never really a separation from harmony. It always comes to us as a sense of unity. As unity, as harmony. It annuls that sense of being a separate being from God. It unites us right back, because it says, oh, there is nothing about me which is not equal with God. Because through the scattering of my ignorance, through the power of the Christ acting in spite of mortal opposition and obliterating every false concept, I begin to see, well, I'm the idea of principle. I'm at one with principle. Shall we take another one? Just to train and train and train ourselves in those four, because they are so necessary for the operation of the seven synonymous term. We can go out again from the absolute sense and say, why does God reveal itself? Why is the world revelation? Why does it want to come to the human? Because the word itself, as the logos, is so to say the self-declaration of being. So we can write here self-declaration. See, the word or the logos must say the following, that being says, I declare myself as what I am. I declare unto you my nature. I declare to you that I am mind, that I am spirit, that I am soul, that I am principle, life, truth, and love. So there is something in being which says, well, the nature of being is not undeclared, is not unknown, but the word by which the whole world was made is declaring its own nature. But it is not just declaring its own nature. That word has a Christ. The moment you have a Christ, you get the sense of power. A sense of power, a sense of activity, a sense of expression. And so we could call it that the Christ is the self-expression or self-operation. Both is right. Saying, you see, this word which is what it is, this word which declares what it is not something static. It's not something that lays there latent somewhere in the air, but it is very operative and a very self-operative power. That's the Christ. Whenever we see a self-operative activity, we can call that the Christ. And it's important, I think, to see that it is self, so that we don't have to have a feeling that we have to make the idea operate. That's just the Christ idea. The Christ idea says, I'm going to do it. I have set my goal, and I'm going to fulfill that goal. If the Christ is self-operating, well, what does it do? Does he operate just for nothing? Just for, what do you say when you operate for nothing? It's just useless, huh? In a vacuum, for no purpose, huh? Oh, no. It must have an outcome, and therefore it is operating for its self-fulfillment. Self-fulfillment is the Christ. See, always think of Christianity as outcome. Then you always get the place value of Christianity. So the outcome is naturally fulfillment, and because we don't have to make it fulfilled, it is a sense of self-fulfillment. And if you come to science, you say, but how did that word know what it wants to fulfill? Well, that word has a science. And so the science says, yes, in being there is self-interpretation of being. So we write down self-interpretation. You see, I always make two different T's, because the one is Swiss and the other is American. And I always fall back to the Swiss one, and then I think, oh no, I should put it the way the American write it. Yeah, all right. But you still can read it, huh? Even if it is a Swiss T. Huh? Yeah, all right. It's self-interpretation. So that, again, you have science which says, well, from the point of view of the absolute standpoint, that word has in itself a Christ, has in itself a Christianity, has within itself a science. You see, they link together. They are not four watertight compartments. And so that word that declares itself knows right from the beginning what it actually wants to declare, because it has a science within itself and has a self-interpretation of itself already programmed into the word. Well, if I say programmed, I really use a cybernetic term, and actually cybernetics runs on those four processes. So actually in cybernetic terms we could just say the word is actually the input. See? It's the input, it's the addition of data and data and data. You put first all the data into your divine computer. Just as we have done, we have gone through the seven synonymous terms, have been seeing what are the ideas of those synonymous terms, and so now we have already an input, a divine input of divine data, those ideas. And then the Christ is really the process. It's the processing of those data. That's the schematic model of cybernetics. Then you have the output, which is always the Christianity, the outcome, at which comes out is the output. You see, the cybernetics actually uses very much Mrs. Eddy's terms. And then we know in cybernetics we always have the point that there is not a linear law at work, a law of causality at work from input to output, but that what makes cybernetics to be cybernetics is that the laws are the laws of self-organizing, the feedback law. And so science really is that feedback. Why is science the feedback? Because it feedbacks its new information and says, all right, now I have a bigger input. Just as we had before, exactly as we had before, where we had taken self-declaration, self-operation, self-fulfillment, and then self-interpretation. Because it has shown that The self-interpretation is always clearer and clearer the more the self does declare itself in its infinite categories. So actually, this is something we experience in actual life. You know, these things are not academic jungling about with terms, but that's what we experience in our study. In our study, we start with some kind of input, with some kind of knowing what God declares himself to be, and then we don't say, well, that's the end of it. We think there must be more about it. If we wouldn't think there is not more about it, we wouldn't be seeking. We wouldn't try to add more to our knowledge. We wouldn't wait on the revelation. You see, I go right back in the Word, and see that they all hinge together. And because we know that there is more to what we already know as our data, as a self-declaration, we are willing to go through the process of self-operation and make our experiments and our experiences. And every time we make experience, we make a new demonstration and something fulfills itself in a new way. And the moment it is in a new way, something says to us, now I see it clearer. And we have a feedback right back to our input. And this is going on like a spiral, always round and round, higher and higher, until it reaches some kind of climax. And that's why it is so terrific in a spiritual science compared with a dogmatic religion. In a dogmatic religion, you have your catechism, and there the law is laid down, and there is nothing to add to it. Once you learn it, you have it, and you just have to see that you stick to it. But in the spiritual science, this is not so. In the spiritual science, one goes out from the Word, and it has a certain amount of input and data in there, a certain amount of knowledge in it, and that has a Christ. It begins to work. It begins to operate. And it begins to operate in spite of our ignorance, in spite of matter, in spite of everything. It begins to operate and brings out as Christianity a new outcome, a new output. And suddenly one finds oneself seeing the higher reflection of Christianity and feels, my word, now I have learned something. And I begin to interpret that experience and come to science. I begin to interpret that experience in a new light, and so you have the feedback to the Word. It's as easy as that, those four. Can you see the rhythm of it? A Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And it is just a matter of thinking it over and over. These things cannot be taught just in an hour, and just if the teacher is good, the students will get it. It doesn't work that way. It is a question that one can present it and an alert consciousness to a certain dimension, but then it is the task of the student to ponder it and think about it and be open to it and think it over and ponder it and love it and adore it and admire it and stand in awe before it and expect something, anticipate really the promise of it. All that helps that the idea grows within oneself. And it becomes clearer and clearer until it finds its identity. And then they are as crystal clear as any other identities are clear and distinguished from each other. We can do a few more just to get the rhythm of it. We can, for instance, say the Word, we can take it in the relationship, is our relation to God. I could have said man's relationship to God. It's again the seeking process. It's again the process of adding to our understanding what is reality. We could also call it our approach to God. But when we come to the Christ, that relationship is different. I speak now all about relationship in the four. That relationship is different. It's the relation really from God to man. See, the Word is man's relationship to God. The Word is, from the human standpoint, always approaching being. From the point of view of the Christ, it is always that God comes to man. Christ is the divine message from God to man. It's always from God to man. Then, in Christianity, you have the outcome of these relationships, which is actually the interrelationships of all ideas. That's Christianity, interrelationship of ideas. It's now no more the interrelationship of God and man, and man and God. It's now the interrelationship of the ideas within the realm of ideas. And you see, can you see that? Just always think of Christianity as outcome, always as outcome. What is the outcome of God? We have seen the outcome of the divine principle are always ideas. The outcome of God are not trees and people and business and auto cars and I don't know what. They are only ideas. So the outcome of true relationship is interrelationship of ideas. And therefore, again, you feel at once that that hinges together with all what we had here somehow in Christianity, like reflection. If you have an interrelationship of ideas, you really get pure reflection. Yeah? And if when we come to science, that relationship becomes what? It becomes the relationship of oneness. That's the pinnacle of relationship, the relationship of oneness. Yes? So whenever one touches the fact that a relation of God, or let's say first, relationship of man approaching God as if they were separate, and then the relationship as if God would come to man, as the prophets would say, as the divine message from God to man, it still gives a sense of separateness, and then Christianity of ideas reflecting each other ideas somewhere. And if you put this relationship together into principle and idea, you get the relationship of oneness, no more of separateness, because relationship usually indicates separation, relation from one to something else. And so that has to be resolved. Science, the last column, always resolves, so to say, the word Christ and Christianity aspect into beingness, into oneness, that the relationship of principle and idea being one is really that what we have here. Yes. Or, we have hardly any more room here, but you can't see it. Yeah. We could also see that Mrs. Eddy's definition of good in the glossary indicates really that fourfold calculus, because there she calls good as what? And you could write, I can't write it down here anymore, well, perhaps I can, omnipotence. The Christ is omniscience. Christianity, again, the outcome, the presence of it, omnipresence. And then science, omni-action. So this is good. The calculus of goodness is the calculus that starts out by saying there is only one power, God. With God, all things are possible. The Christ says, yes, and I know how it is possible. It's the omniscience. I know the idea. Christ's idea says, I know the idea, how God can do all. And says, as Christianity, as the outcome, actually that omnipotence that knows all is ever present at every point of being. It's an ever omnipresence. And so finally you say, then my word, then actually nothing is going on, but only principle and idea is going on. That's the only action of principle. Yeah. You could take one or two more. You write it down. I have no more room here. But you know how Mrs. Eddy herself defines that calculus in miscellaneous writings and says that that Christian science is that calculus defining the line, is the word. The line, the plane, that's the Christ, space, that is Christianity, and fourth dimension of spirit, that's science. Naturally, we have to see that what she says here is not so much that she gives a geometrical dimension. The line is not one-dimensional geometrically, because it's the line of spirit. she's talking. Not the geometrical line, the one-dimensional line. But she means line is the word. You climb up according to a definite order. You go along the red line of the 7 days of creation in order to find out the right definition of God or the right declaration of the Word of God. That's the only line you can go in order to find out what God is. That's the Word. And the Christ is the plane, because the Christ comes to every plane of thought. It comes to the saint and to the sinner in the same way. It comes to every situation, to every plane of thought, to every plane of thinking, to every plane of experience. And it is, therefore, again, it's not a two-dimensional geometrical plane. It's symbolism. And then she calls it the space, which is, again, a spiritual space, namely Christianity, as the outcome of the Christ idea, is filling all space. The whole space is peopled with idea. So again, the focal point in Christianity is idea. And what is it? It's a realm of idea, space. And then she calls science the fourth dimension of spirit, because then we begin to see that we have to reason in the realm of spirit, and no more in the human realm, in the realm of the science of spirit. That's the fourth dimension, where every idea is an idea of principle and can be understood as the idea of principle. Yeah, that's that.